morning and a warm welcome to the Simply Divine program. I'm Maria Colfer and you're tuned to Southeast Radio. This morning is a really special Simply Divine program. My guest is an only son, but has three sisters, two of whom are living, thank God. He's worked at one stage in his career in industry, but somehow or other, the good Lord had other plans for him, and he found himself in the Pontifical University of Maynooth, studying for the priesthood. After ordination, he became chaplain to a school in Roscrea and has served in a rural parish near Tulla in County Clare, and later became diocesan secretary, first to Bishop Willie Walsh, and after his retirement, secretary to Bishop Kieran O'Reilly, who is now Archbishop of Cashel. Well, I'm delighted to welcome, all the ways from County Clare, the just recently appointed new Bishop-elect of Ferns, Bishop Ger Nash. Good morning, Bishop, and thank you for joining us this morning. You come from that wonderful Burn country, but you're so very welcome to the southeast.
Thank you very much, Maria, and I'm delighted to be with you on this morning's programme. It's a daunting time to take up this new task. It caused a lot of heart-searching and soul-searching before I said yes. But I'm delighted that I was asked, and please God, with the help of God, I'll be able to work with people and the priests and the people in the parishes of Ferns to lead us into the next stage of the church life.
Absolutely. You will indeed. Could you tell us first a little bit about Tulla? Or where is that in relation to other towns in County Clare? Give us a kind of a picture of where you're from.
No bother at all. So if you visualise County Clare, it's almost bisected by the River Fergus. So you have East and West Clare. So the East Clare is the hurling heartland of Clare. West Clare is the football heartland. But Tulla is right in the very centre of the East Clare. So it's equidistant from Innes and Killaloe, those the two towns on each edge. And so it's right in the middle. It's on the foothills of the Slievochty Mountains, which are the mountains that separate Clare and South Galway on the eastern side. And I was reared on the Slievochty Mountains in a little place called Glendaree in the parish of Tulla. I went to school in a little place called Drumcharlie in the parish of Tulla. And in fact, I got a phone call yesterday from a fellow. He wasn't a classmate, but a fellow alumni of the same prestigious small country school here in Wexford, your county secretary, David Minogue,
He is from Clare, yes.
We went to the very same school. We sat in the same room. So that's Tulla. So Tulla is the old name, Tullan and Aspel, the Hill of the Apostles. It's an ancient site. Kind of a little market town, but like a lot of small rural towns in the west of Ireland and indeed everywhere, struggling a bit with to keep shops and things open because of the draw to the bigger supermarkets and
yes,
things
of
like
course,
that.
Yes.
It has a secondary school, which was where I went to school.
Right.
So it's a co-ed secondary school for the bones of 50 years now at this stage.
Yeah.
And that's kind of Tulla.
Well, now, this is a new appointment and I'm very conscious of you having had a long day yesterday. So you're probably still trying to get your head around it, are you?
Indeed. But look at the welcome I received over the last, not just yesterday, but indeed all of the days since the appointment became known to the priests and to Bishop Dennis and John Carroll, the Diocesan Secretary, and Oran Furlong and his team and all the other people in the diocese. It's just been... So it's yes, it is difficult to get my head around it, but at the same time, the warmth of the welcome
helps
big time, and I suppose also the great messages of goodwill from the people I have worked with, that my phone has just been pinging constantly and just saying, assuring me that I'm in the right, that I have taken this has been the right step. So.
Where were you first when the news came in that you were going to be made a bishop?
I was sitting in my house and indirectly I got a call from the papal nuncio who said he would like to see me in Dublin. And that was a Saturday night. And because I had my phone off, I think I hadn't turned my phone on after Mass. So I didn't realise until the bishop... my own bishop, Fintan Monaghan, alerted me to the fact that the nuncio was looking for me. So then that was Saturday night. So I suppose he also told me generally what he wanted me for. He gave me the broad outlines of it. So I didn't sleep much on that Saturday night.
I was going to say.
In fact, I didn't sleep at all on the Saturday night. But I slept great on Sunday night. I was so exhausted. So that was where I heard it first. And yeah, it was like, it's a shock, do you know. It's a shock.
Of course. Yeah. And listening to the Papal Nuncio yesterday morning, he was saying you weren't exactly done up to the nines when you arrived up with him.
No. I was dressed casually, yeah. I wasn't aware that the sandals made such an impact. You know?
Exactly.
And the rucksack. Anyway.
Well, now you've shared your time in the seminary with some of our people.
Indeed.
The diocesan secretary, the Chancellor, Father John Carl. So you know someone up here at least, as well as David Minogue.
Absolutely. I was great friends with the late Fintan Morris. I was a deacon at his ordination.
Oh.
And Fintan and myself were very friendly right from day one in Maynooth. And his loss was a great loss to his
yes.
family and to the diocesan family as
yes,
well.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Way before his time, like
way
some, like
his
like,
time, yeah.
like many of our class, indeed, or like some of our class. So, and I would have visited and the parishes Fintan would have been in, Clearystown and Came, and so all these places were. And he was a great historian and
yes.
a great sense of the people and the culture of Ferns. So, as somebody said today, if you knew what you were going to, you'd have listened more carefully.
But Hindsight is a great thing.
It is, but I got the gist of it.
Industry to priesthood, that's a bit of a leap. Did you find it was not people orientated enough?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think I probably came to the conclusion that if the mark on my tombstone was that this guy was really good at spreadsheets, I didn't think it was going to be what I'd like to have seen on my gravestone.
Yeah,
know, that,
yeah.
So I think, yeah, I think, but I had, I suppose, a lot of things that drove my vocation.
People,
and also organisations and groups that I was involved with. I mentioned them today, Muintras and YCW and things like that. So I always had a sense that I suppose faith is actually the question of faith and how we respond. And how we try to answer the big questions in life is much more important than the day-to-day decisions. So
yes.
I was always drawn to that deeper side.
You were involved in Clare Care, a social services agency run by the church. That exposed you to a lot of the social needs and poverty, I believe.
It did. Now, I suppose in County Clare, we wouldn't have huge... We wouldn't have a lot of what we would consider urban poverty. We would have quite a bit of rural poverty and a lot of poverty of social isolation, neglect,
yes.
particularly among the elderly. I think if you were to take what would have been in those days particularly, what would have been the predominant poverty problem, it was actually with the isolated rural elderly. Who very often who had family, but they would be working in Dublin because of lack of employment, and particularly in rural
yeah.
West Clare and indeed even in East Clare, you know, that as people moved away, you could find an elderly person or an elderly couple, you know, just still kind of maintaining a family home,
yes.
And a long way from any sort of services that you'd normally expect, you know, a long way from church, from post office, from shop, from doctor, from pharmacy. So that kind of, but it gave me a good insight into, you know, the needs
the
of
needs
people.
The needs people, yeah.
You know, it's a very big organisation. It also had on the same model as Asherie here in Wexford.
It had
Bushy Park, that was part of it. It had an addiction treatment
centre. Exactly. Yeah.
Along with childcare, elderly services, counselling, community work day centres and quite a number of other things.
Project Emil Borna, am I correct?
Emil Borna,
yes. That was your brainchild. Can you explain that a little bit to us?
Okay, so I suppose at that stage I was coming out of Clare Care and I spoke to Bishop Willie Walsh at the time. And we were very much moving to a place where you're not here in Ferns yet, which was parishes with no priest.
Yes, yeah. So, but we're getting there.
Yeah, but we were getting there very rapidly. In fact, we had already gone there. And I suppose we were coming to the thing as well that very often priests were working on their own. They had no support and parishes were getting bigger. Instead of working in one parish, they were now working in two. And I suppose we came up with the idea that, that really priests need to work as a team, you know, and to develop a sense of team ministry. So four of us in four individual parishes, which did all happen to have a priest, you know, agreed that we would work together, that we would share all our work, that we would rotate almost constantly so that people who go to a particular mass in a particular church over the course of a month would see four different priests.
Really? Yeah.
So that would, you know, that they wouldn't be just getting the same,
yeah,
the same voice,
yes,
and the same opinions every single Sunday.
Yes.
That we would work as a team, that we would make common decisions, that we would, you know, we had a very strict rule, for want of a better word, that we would meet for a solid meeting every week, you know, every Wednesday, and prepare for the following Sunday and plan our work together. And I think, say, particularly when in rural areas when parishes are depleting, that is still the model we're working right across the diocese. It requires a lot of buy-in from priests. We certainly weren't trained in my time to be
team players.
To be team players, indeed. There was a lot of the Lone Ranger. It's in all of us. It's but I think there's no real safety net there in that kind of work. You really need to be able to work as a team and be responsible to somebody else, you know.
You're very keen, I think, on lay involvement, yeah. but lay people need to be prepared or given the skills to become involved, don't they?
That's right. So the diocese asked us, or the pastoral development team, which is Maureen Kelly and myself, 3 years ago now, to begin to train lay people. So we took that on. We got a third person with us, Miranda Quinlevin, and we recruited. We held information meetings and we said we would roll out a ministry of catechist and the ministry of pastoral care. And I suppose it's interesting now that Pope Francis in the last 3 or 4 weeks has instituted the ministry of catechist as a ministry within the church. It was always there as a role, but now he has instituted it as a ministry back about a month ago. So we were well ahead of him.
You're ahead of the curve.
So we recruited 25. 12 of them are training as catechists and 13 are training in pastoral care, which would be kind of the care, you know, doing the work that priests would have done in relation to care of the elderly, bereavement support, helping families prepare for funerals, hospital visitation, nursing home visitation. As priests get scarcer, there's so many roles that priests would have been done by priests in the past.
That's not rolled out in the parishes yet, is it?
No, I mean, they're coming towards the end of the training now. If we weren't in a COVID world,
yeah,
we would have been rolling it out in the first Sunday of Advent this year. But unfortunately, it's a COVID world. So very successfully and with great determination, our folk kept going through their academic programme in Mary Eye online. And they will be graduating this summer.
Brilliant.
In terms of their academic formation. But in terms of their practical pastoral formation, that completely fell behind due to COVID. You see,
yes, churches were closed.
Churches were closed. Schools were closed.
Yes.
Everything was closed.
Yeah.
So we have
A little bit of catching up to do.
But please God, with the help of God, early in 2022, you know.
You'll be sad to leave that.
Yes, among other projects.
Yes.
But it's in great hands, you know, it's in great hands. I'll be watching it from the sidelines with great interest.
When will you actually take up office with us here in Ferns?
Whenever the ordination date will be.
We don't have it as yet.
Yeah. But please God, it'll be set in the next week or so.
All right.
Yeah. It'll probably be a COVID ordination, which for the other two bishops in the country that have been consecrated under COVID, it's been a very low-key, sort of minimalist.
Limited people to attend.
Limited people to attend. Very possibly, unless major changes happen.
Right.
But it'll probably be limited, yeah.
Will you have to get new clothes? Vestments?
I presume I have. I haven't got my head around that yet, but I presume I will.
What are you most looking forward to?
I think I'm most looking forward to getting to know the parishes, going out to parishes. In the role that I had, that I'm leaving in Killaloe, I had no parish. So I was actually in full-time in pastoral development. So on the weekends, I went to a different parish every weekend to talk about the work we were doing and to talk about the kind of the challenges that lie ahead of the church and the roles, you know, that not just the people we were training, but really saying, you know, the responsibility to keep Christian community alive. It won't come from a diocesan office. Unless parishes themselves keep Christian community alive, it'll perish. So to kind of encourage that. So I loved going around to the different parishes, the different churches, every weekend, saying the Mass. Sometimes the priest took the opportunity to take the weekend off, which was grand, and I covered everything. Sometimes he stayed there, and I would have preached at the Masses or said the Masses, as the case may be. And I loved that, and I'm looking forward to doing that right up and down the diocese here.
Was there good buy-in from the laity when you proposed this?
I think it's like a lot of things that verbally, yes, you know, I think it's a slow process, really. It's a slow process, and you need patience as well as everything else. But there was, I suppose, maybe in Killaloe, the stark reality of our figures certainly alerted people that there wasn't any, that what was coming down the line, you couldn't dodge it. You know, that the change was going to happen. And then the Papal Nuncio said it yesterday. He said something that I say myself. He used a different phrase, but I think it's kind of, you know, we're either agents of change or victims of change. Now, he used a slightly different phrase, but I hope, I suppose, in my time in Ferns and please God in life, not to be a victim of change, you know, that we would, in some sense, be with it and managing it.
Be an agent of change.
Yeah.
Will you get any summer holidays now?
That's a really good question. Please God, I will. I do, to start any job, you do need good rest and recreation, you know, and I will. I'll get some time. It might be in the sunny southeast, but I'll get some time.
Have you a favourite saint or hero that you find inspirational? Or a favourite prayer, even?
Okay, well, I suppose just somebody I mentioned today, Joseph Cardine, is not a saint, but he's an inspirational, you know, he inspired the work that I did and the vision that I had of church and I have and always had of church. And he was the founder of the Young Christian Workers, the Young Christian Students, very much in the days would have been a worker priest, became a cardinal, not for... because he was put in charge of any big town or any big country. He was made a cardinal because of his work, because of the charism he brought to the church, the gift he brought of helping people to recognise, to look at their reality and then to see that the gospel had a place and had a solution and had a healing remedy for the struggles of people in their life. So Cardine would be somebody I would have... Great time. Charles de Foucault as well, he's somebody that would have read some of his some stuff. Pope Francis seems to be really making, you know, giving us great insights into the way we need to be oriented towards the future as well.
I think it was Bishop Dignan said that COVID has given us more time to reflect and has brought for some a new spiritual awakening. And that our online presence has opened up unlimited possibilities for outreach. What are your thoughts on this online church that we have?
Okay, that's really interesting. I think probably when we, first of all, we went to online quite quickly when COVID struck. And I think maybe very often it became back to a very clerical church. If you looked at masses in some places, you know, and it was because of COVID, it wasn't any in built clericalism or anything, but we went back to a very clerical church, very quickly, lay people disappeared off the altar and off the ambo and off of the places we were familiar to seeing them. Now, that has been much better, I think, in the second lockdown. I think parishes became very much more aware of the need for a better presentation. But as one priest in our diocese said recently, it suddenly dawned on him that he's no longer just a Mass celebrant, even though he's celebrating the Mass, that I am now a broadcaster.
Yes.
And that's interesting, because none of us were trained to be broadcasters, unlike yourself.
Yes.
You know, and we have a lot of catching up to do. You know, there are skills in broadcasting that are unique to that. And so I think that online thing is...
Is it here to stay, would you say?
I'd say it probably
some
is going to be...
Some element of it, yeah.
I think also... I suppose I'm ambivalent about the value of social media. I think it has great strengths, but I think it has great weaknesses as well. I'm not on social media. I think it has great weaknesses. I think from what you read in the newspaper, so many people get hurt by it.
That's the other side of it.
It's the other side of it. Yeah. And it is great possibility to destroy people's lives, and I'm not talking about celebrities now, but just to destroy ordinary people's lives.
Yeah.
So I'm very ambivalent about that.
Yeah.
I'm very enthusiastic about Zoom and that whole thing, because I think we have found that it releases the possibility, certainly for to be able to meet with people much more frequently and meet with people who might find it difficult to meet with you in normal circumstances.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, for example, to get young mothers...
Yes.
Our young fathers involved in, say, a parish consultation or a diocesan consultation. Very difficult after a day's work and find a babysitter and there's homework to be done. But if they can flick on Zoom, you can talk to them for 20 minutes.
Yes.
They can keep the homework going.
Yes, you know, they don't have to travel. Yeah.
They don't have to travel in wintertime.
And they're there when it's over.
And when it's over, they can turn on the news and flick the kettle. Yeah.
Bishop Chair, we're coming to the end, but there's one question that the whole of County Wexford, parts of Leinster and into Munster are needing to know the answer to. So think this one out carefully. On any given Sunday, when you're sitting nonchalantly in Chadwick Park or Semple Stadium or even Croke Park, and Wexford and Clare are facing each other in a championship match, who you got to shout for?
I was promised by Bishop Dennis that there would be no difficult questions in this interview. I think I'll be looking for a good match. I love hurling, and I think it's a great game, and I'm looking forward to many Sundays in Chadwick, in Wexford Park.
Well, I think we have a loyal banner man here in our midst, and we won't hold that against you, Bishop Chair. It's a real pleasure to meet with you, to welcome you. We hope that this new phase in your life brings you joy and fulfillment. We have prayed about your coming. We hope that you will pray for us as we will continue to pray for you and for many blessings on your ministry. Thank you and good morning to you. And that's all from us from this special Simply Divine programme. My thanks to Patricia on the sound desk for accommodating us. And taking us out, we have a piece of music I think Bishop Gerr will like, and we'll dedicate it to him. It's a piece from that Cayley band who are in existence for over 100 years from the heart of County Clare, the Kilfenora Cayley Band. And finally, remember, we're all made in the image and likeness of God, so we're not just human, we're also divine.
Thank you very much.
This program was produced by the Christian Media Trust, exclusively for Southeast Radio.